In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and don't go gently, y'all. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.
Pritchard's kick out for a Sam Hauser three that rims out. But it's no longer what could be or what might be. Now it just is. The 2024 Boston Celtics are one of the greatest teams in NBA history. They were told they had to win. There's only one thing you can do when expectations are that high. Meet them. And there's only one way to stop being haunted by the ghosts and the legends and the champions of Chapters Building. Join them. Together they have, and together they stand alone on top of the mountain for now. And once again, the Boston Celtics stand alone for all time. It is banner 18. The mission demanded is mission accomplished.
Wow.
This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. And that is a wrap from Boston as we say goodnight now to the NBA regular season and playoffs as the NBA finals are in the books. As the 18th championship goes to the Boston Celtics. More on the NBA Finals and Boston and the MVP voting and all the stuff that went into that Game 5 victory with one Chris Nockey, my former colleague at Team 980 and now co-host of the DC Coaches Basketball Podcast. He's got some interesting thoughts on the whole thing. You'll hear from him in just a second. But first, a couple of items. Hello and welcome. It is Wednesday, June 19, 2024. Federal holiday now for Juneteenth. I hope you are enjoying your day off if you get it. In my case, I worked because our company gives on-air talent a comp day in our back pocket. And that's honestly not a bad thing, given that we can now put it wherever we want. I'm going to put it on the day after 4th of July, so it'll be a long weekend for me coming up soon. Yay me. But if you got the day off today, I hope you enjoy it and reflect on the holiday. That said, last night, NBA championship delivered to Boston yet again. As, you know, the city has been embarrassed with riches. It's just absurd how much winning Boston has had and how many parades they've celebrated, and yet the fans still keep coming out. You would think by now fans in Boston would just say, yeah, I've been to the last four or five of them. It's a big hassle. I don't need to go again. But more on the NBA Finals in just a second. Before we get to that, now that we are into summer, and by the way, the final of the NHL Stanley Cup final, and that series possibly being folded up, did not make today's podcast. So we'll have to get to that tomorrow. Now that we're into summer, I wanted to talk grilling for a second and ask if everyone saw the viral photo and tweet by New York Senator Chuck Schumer that got roasted by just about everybody on the internet because it said, "Tell me you don't know anything about grilling without telling me you don't know anything about grilling." Now, he admits in the tweet, he said, "You know, my whole life, my family, we've lived in an apartment in New York City, so grilling is something we didn't do, but now that my daughter has a house out in the burbs, we grilled out, and isn't it wonderful?" And it's Chuck Schumer, 76 years old, or however old he is, been in politics way too long, just like members of both parties occupying their seats for way too long. You can't get them out once they're dug in. And he's holding a spatula next to a raw hamburger patty with a slice of cheese on it already with the hamburger patty raw. And everybody knows that's not how you do it. What are you doing, bro? Like, the cheese, by the time that hamburger is done cooking, will have vaporized off of the burger. But it was such a staged photo that you had to know some handler who also, I'm sure, was some Manhattanite who did not have a grill and had never done this before, said, "Okay, all right, let's stand over here. Okay, here, I'm going to give you a spatula." That's what this is called, Chuck. It's a spatula. You use it to scrape up the food, the meat, off the grill. Okay, just hold it. Well, what do I do here? No, just hold it. Don't worry about it. And let's see, put a couple burgers on there. We haven't cooked them yet, but that's okay. And let's see, put a little cheese on there. That'll be good. Yeah, okay. All right, now hold it right there. Good. Okay, turn towards me. All right, smile. No, that's an evil smile. That's a Mr. Burns smile. Could you smile a little bit more friendly, like more relaxed, you know? Like, "Hi, I'm just here." You can't do that? Oh, all right. Just take the fucking picture. Okay, click. All right. Okay, and the aide goes, "All right." Boom. "Happy weekend, Americana. I, too, am just like you. I grill meat outside in the summertime." It's incredible, isn't it? That politicians would feel the need to, or they have people who feel the need to, stage such photos and have nobody on staff that is in touch with just basic Americana to go, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. No, don't send that out. The burger's not even cooked. You don't put cheese on it. Now, this is going to be the dumbest thing ever. Somebody's going to roast this." Or if somebody did notice that and thought, "I don't know," they were too afraid because of, I'm sure, some very strong-willed personalities that run these campaigns and didn't want to, you know, possibly get fired on the spot for going, "I don't know if we should do this." It's a microcosm into why the country is so utterly screwed, no matter who ends up winning whatever election may come our way. People, of course, had the memes. You got to have the memes off of this, and they're great, including somebody who put a couple of eggs inside the shell in a frying pan with some cheese, some grated cheese just sprinkled over it, saying, "Yep, getting ready to make an omelet. Great morning for it, everybody. How you doing?" And I think there's others out there floating around. But, well, maybe Chuck Schumer will learn just how to grill. And don't sell me on, "Whoa, it was a tofu burger with, it was a veggie burger with tofu on top. That's what it was." Yeah, don't believe what you saw. He did take the tweet down, oh, by the way. So at least he realized, probably shouldn't leave this one up. Speaking of tweets that got taken down, I wish I had screen capped this. I retweeted a Dick Vitale tweet that was apparently a tweet of his thumb. It was from the official account of Dick Vitale, like a million followers. And it was just this blurry, fleshy looking thumb, or maybe a thumb, and nothing else. And I go, best tweet ever. Retweet. By the time I went back to look at my Twitter, they said, you should have screen capped it. He's already deleted it. You can just imagine Dick Vitale, who's almost 80 or 80 plus himself, try to figure out his phone. And, hey, what do I do here? Got to stay relevant with the kids. And, oh, that's my thumb. I took a picture and then I hit some button. What happened? Oh, it tweeted my thumb. Great. LSU is being sued by Les Miles, their former football coach, because LSU vacated wins off of Miles' official record. And apparently, to be inducted to the College Football Hall of Fame, you have to, at a minimum, have a 60% winning percentage. And the wins that were vacated take Miles under that 60%. They claim, the attorneys for Les Miles claim, that the wins deprived him of the property right to be on the ballot. A property right. Interesting, novel legal angle on this. I'm not sure if it'll carry any weight. I know this, Les Miles was hella entertaining when he coached at LSU. He also was amazing in the ability to fuck up a two-car parade. When it came to winning games, Les Miles would be the guy who would fall down a flight of stairs and then somehow pop up, land on his feet, dust himself off and say, oh, I'm not hurt at all. He would end up winning games that you would think he's trying to actively lose. But he was a good coach, and we won't forget him, but he is now not going to be a Hall of Famer unless he wins this lawsuit. The AFC North as a division will be featured on Hard Knocks this coming year. The in-season Hard Knocks, not the training camp Hard Knocks. Remember, we got like three different flavors of Hard Knocks. We got Hard Knocks Classic, that's, you know, August Hard Knocks. Then you've got in-season Hard Knocks, which used to just feature a single team in season and mic players and coaches up and follow them around to meetings and the trainer's tub and everything else. And then you now have Hard Knocks off-season, which featured the New York Giants this past winter as they sat around spreadsheets and looked at film on laptops of who they should go out and buy via free agency and draft. I'm not against it. I just don't know if I'll have time for it. I did see where John Harbaugh of the Ravens said, look, we don't really care about it, but just so you know, it's television. It's not real. They do things and edit things in ways to make it fit storylines that they want to promote. It's not real. Good for John Harbaugh for saying that. All right, let's take a quick break. If you happen to be a subscriber, then guess what? You're just going to go right to my chat with Chris Nocke about the NBA Finals, Boston, and more. If you don't subscribe, though, then you're going to have to sit tight or hit press forward a couple of times, which is okay. Or better yet, just listen to the wonderful commercial ads that is on this podcast and maybe support them so I can keep going and, you know, make this a worthwhile endeavor. But if you want to subscribe, you get Fridays as well. Go to zabe.com/premium. We're back with Chris Nocke right after this. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match
with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The former leader and molder of young men in the great game of basketball, Chris Nockey, of the DC Basketball Coaches Podcast, joining me right now. Never did coach for the Maine Red Claws, but you probably interviewed for the job, right?
I would have, if it were available, I would have. And you know what? Since you mentioned the pod, Dave, I saw where, you know, J.J. Redick may be exchanging his headphones for the Lakers job. I just want most the rest of the NBA to know that I am available, leaving my podcast spot to...
That is incredible, isn't it? Like, there are people... I believe Stephen A. Smith basically accused LeBron of using J.J. Redick to help get Darvin Ham fired by starting that podcast to low-key talk shit before the season was even over.
You know, that's a hell of a conspiracy theory, and it could very well be, but you think about the number of guys who have, you know, been in that league for years and years and years, and I am not doubting J.J.'s knowledge of the game because he seems like a smart cat, obviously. He's been in the league. He was successful as hell in the league. But, man, it's got to rankle some guys, you know, who've been rank and file guys for years.
Yeah. The story of Joe Mazzulla is amazing. And, it, you know, like any good career, it takes a little dash of luck. His luck was Ime Udoka's, shall we say, enthusiasms for certain off-court activities in the office. And he got the break he needed. He got the backing of Brad Stevens when many people, before they took the interim off him, said, I mean, seems like a nice guy, but do you really want to trust this team that is championship ready to this guy? As a coach yourself, Nockey, what do you love about Joe Mazzulla?
Well, in that league, the number one thing I love for him is that his players play for him. You know, they one of the things about the Celtics, and whether you hate them or love them, and I'm kind of ambivalent about them, I just, they're very workmanlike in the way they go about things. I think they're guilty sometimes of settling for a lot of long jump shots. They shoot a boatload of threes. But, you know, in a general sense, they bring it every night, and they were that way all year long. And that only happens if the head coach has your attention. You know, you in that league, there's so many teams and so many guys that mail it in because it's such a long season.
Right.
You didn't really see that from them at all. Now, from an X's and O's perspective, I thought he and his staff, because I know the way the NBA works, it's not just Mazzulla, you know, organizing every single practice and every single nuance, but I thought defensively, I thought they always had an answer. They always had a game plan. And I was just so impressed too by the guard play that they have. And they got two guys, you know, Zabe, you'll love this because you're an NFL guy. I think the NBA point guard is the equivalent of the NFL wide receiver. I think just there are a boatload of divas that play that position.
Really?
You know? Yeah, really do. And yet,
are there any exceptions? Because I'm thinking of one right now.
Oh, yeah.
On the Celtics.
Well, yeah, those two guards and their combination guards are anything but divas. They don't. Drew Holiday, I have a man crush and have for years on Drew Holiday. All that guy ever does is fight his ass off on defense. He takes on every comer. You know, I mean, he's not afraid to switch and cover big guys. White the same way. You know, they don't talk a whole lot. They don't bitch a whole lot.
Right.
They just ball. And I think too, where Boston turned the corner. To your point about Missoula, I thought last year at this time, there were a lot of people, and some of them I know, and some of them are really good basketball people who were saying, yeah, maybe he's just not cut out for this, you know, because he's knocking on the door, but they fell flat last year and certainly underachieved. Getting Jrue Holiday the way they did, I mean, talk about putting a team together in any sport is a lot more art than science sometimes, but man, they gave that MVP trophy to Jaylen Brown, much deserved. But if the commissioner turned around and handed it to Brad Stevens, nobody would have batted an eye.
Right.
Because that is a well-constructed team.
Yeah, big time. By the way, Jrue Holiday.
Checking the boxes.
Yeah, Jrue Holiday. Do you know what the Celtics paid to get him offhand?
Well, I mean, he was with the Bucks when they won the championship, and then he was shipped to Portland for like a nanosecond.
4 days. And then 4 days. As soon as Brad Stevens saw he was gettable, he swung into action. Malcolm Brogdon, who was the sixth man of the year, Robert Williams, who was a good big man, and two first round picks. Now, I went back and looked at the Holiday acquisition by the Bucks 5 years ago. And in a four-team deal, they gave up Bledsoe, George Hill, and three first-round picks. So here is a guy in Jrue Holiday who is not a, quote, star per se, but he has been traded for and teams have willingly given up five first-round picks for him. The good basketball teams and coaches know he is a secret sauce that can make a team taste delicious.
You know, that well said. And the other thing is, you know, he is a gold medal winner in the Olympics, and he and Durant carried that last gold medal winning team. Those two guys.
Right.
And yeah, everything about him I love. The demeanor, the way guys respond to him, you know, he's just, his shit is tight. And those are hefty prices that you talked about, right?
It's a lot of players picks in there.
Yeah, but if you ask anybody associated with the Bucks who hadn't won a championship since Lou Alcindor was playing for them back in 1971, I think it was, you know, it was 50 years in between championships for that organization. Boston thirsting for that 18th championship just so they can bark and say they're ahead of the Lakers now.
Yeah.
You know, they'd do that deal over 10 times. You know, 10 times in a row for sure.
And there's still some Buck fans who are like, I can't believe we did that. But the more rational basketball fans know, they needed more scoring. The Bucks did. It was something they had to do to get another A scorer because it wasn't happening the last couple of years with the three they had assembled.
Yeah, and also, you know, I give the credit, the Bucks a little bit of credit too, because you win a championship, you can't really stand still. You have to evolve. You have to, because people catch up to you, and your guys get a little bit older. You guys get a little bit older, and I thought that was a calculated decision. But as you said, they gave up one of the great glue guys in the NBA today, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Some other angles from this: the Tatum and Brown angle, and the MVP going to Jaylen Brown. Despite the stats clearly not favoring him, were you okay with that? And do we make too big a deal of an award that is decided by 11 people in the media? That's it, 11. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But if I were the 12th, I would have voted for Jaylen Brown. And here's why, Zabe. I mean, the offense is the offense, and these guys are such prolific scorers, and they're so, in this day and age, I mean, they're just, if you combine the athleticism with the skill set, it's incredible to me watching. But what he did defensively and the way he and, you know, those guys commit to the defensive end it was spectacular. And I thought, looking at it from the other perspective, from Dallas's perspective, Kyrie was a no-show, right? He was not good last night.
Right.
But I thought Luka had a lot of fake points. I thought a lot of his points came after the game had been decided. And for the first 2.5 quarters, it was Jaylen Brown up in his grill and, you know, making it hard for him to score, to even get the ball. And I think those are things that were recognized. I think he deserves it, deserved it, I should say. And I was happy to see him get it. I've always liked this game. I like how hard he plays all the time. He's got a little edge to him as well.
Right.
The edge I'm not sure that Tatum has, but they're both, you know, you think about him as a forward tandem. I don't know which one is the quick side forward, Dave, but they're
that's a reference that goes way back with a former radio colleague by the name of Ken Beatrice, who was a legend, but had a term called quick side forward, which didn't exist in the lexicon. But it was one of many things that Ken would make up to make him sound like he was smarter. And so he would say it. And one time during an interview, Coach K there, Naki, said, if you say quick side forward again, I'm hanging up. And you did.
Yeah, I told his producer before the call, I said, if he utters the term quickside forward, and that's was 2 minutes in, and I clicked. Yeah, I'm done.
Hello, Coach Naki. We've lost your connection. I'm very sorry about that. Okay, so why do you think then Jason Tatum is not given more respect as a great player? What is it?
I think he's respected, Dave. I don't think he's not respected.
But the MVP of the finals is usually a very linear thing. There's been a few exceptions. Iguodala won it for the Warriors over Steph Curry, which was dumb, if you ask me. But he had a series there. I think these writers and these 11 men and women overthink it a bit. But normally it's pretty linear. More points, more rebounds, more assists. You give it to Tatum. No?
No, I didn't see it that way, and I'm one of those guys, the only one of my friends that watched every minute of every game. I thought that Brown was the guy. I thought he deserved it more, and largely because of what they were able to do defensively. The one game was an anomaly. The throwaway game in Dallas where they didn't show up, and Dallas just dropped them. You know?
I think they tanked that just to have the celebration at home. As I'm watching the absolute tsunami of confetti, by the way, imagine if they hadn't won and somebody had to take the confetti out of the rafters. There was so much of it. I'm like, wow, they used all the confetti. It was pretty cool. But I was like, as I watched it, I said to myself, I wouldn't be shocked if they just threw that game away on purpose because they knew they would be better at home.
You know, that's a pretty cynical view, but you're probably
or
right.
Or if they didn't tank it on purpose, they were like, all right, if we're super hot, we'll go ahead and win the game. But if not, we're not going to do any heroic efforts to try to sweep them in four.
Let me ask you a question, because I got something. I was out with a good friend of ours today playing golf, and I asked him this question, and he's an NBA guy. And,
you can and, say his name.
Steve Buck answers.
Yes.
So I asked him. So I don't know if you were watching the game at this point, but with like 2.5 minutes left, Kyrie went and shook hands with the Boston bench. Now, my question to Buck, plainly put, was, what the fuck is that all about? Because to me, when I watched it, and I'm not a Kyrie hater. I'm kind of ambivalent. I'm a little tired of his act, and he's a big-time diva, but the thing that I thought about was, this is a look-at-me move by one of the great look-at-me guys, you know? And I don't know why he felt compelled to do that with 2.5 minutes to play. I thought it was just an odd move.
Yeah, I think he's trying to rebuild his cred, rebuild his star power. I mean, here's a guy who willingly flushed a ton of money during the pandemic with Brooklyn. Here's a guy that was spreading outlandish anti-Semitic things online and should have known better that this was going to be a problematic thing. So I think it's an effort by him to try to patch himself up because he suddenly found himself in the finals and there was a feel-good moment between him and Luka. But we'll see if that continues. Put that aside for a second. Those who said that the Jason Tatum-Jaylen Brown tandem wouldn't work because their skill sets overlapped, Doris Burke kept harping on that last night. Did you think that had merit, and how did those two guys sort that out?
I think it had to be a process because I thought there was a time a few years ago where there was clearly some friction between them. I just think that ultimately as you grow and you mature, you realize, you know, this is an opportunity. These are, if Tatum might be a top five player in the NBA, certainly a top 10 player, and Brown's not very far behind him. I think, you know, how many teams have this kind of a tandem with that size and that skill set, that kind of all court, open court ability? And I think maybe time made it happen. You know, you think about these guys, Tatum, I think they say he's just turned 25 or 26, something like that.
Right.
And I think maybe early on there's some jealousy going back and forth. But I think that they learn to coexist, and maybe it's one of those things that the front office sort of helped assuage, you know, the Brad Stevens. I mean, Stevens has a remarkable way about him, always has. And maybe that's a part of the equation too. That's a part that we'll never know.
Yeah. It's hard. I would imagine you have to somehow make alpha athletes who are very self-focused, because that's how they got great, be able to see just how good winning will feel and how it will be for them in their career and everything else, and to see that well ahead of when it actually happens, and not knowing that it would ever happen at the end of the day, and to get them to buy in and believe in that. That's a good coach can do that, I would imagine.
I think that's a really good point. The other thing is, I wonder if playing in Boston isn't a part of that too, because in Boston, with the history they have, people talk about players' legacies. You know, do you want to be a guy in Boston who made the Eastern Conference Finals 5 out of 6 years but never won a championship? Do you want to be that guy? I mean,
no, worse. That's worse in Boston. Yeah. If you're a great player that nobody denies you're a great player and you don't win one in Boston, now you're a shitheel. Persona non grata. So, yeah, the pressure is absolutely there. It was the pressure that cracked Kyrie. He couldn't handle it, even admitted as such. He's like, I couldn't really buy into the cult thing. So, yeah, and I thought the moment with Tatum just completely at a loss for words and his son coming up and just screaming, we did it. It was good stuff. It's good stuff. So, Boston,
sure.
The whole city, they don't deserve – how about that for a quick pivot? It was a great scene, and now F them. Okay, do you know the number of parades now they've had since 2001 in Boston?
Please, what is it? What is the number?
Do you want to take a guess?
Well, I mean, the Patriots – have had seven of their own,
six.
Right? The Red Sox, okay, the Red Sox would have had another three, I think. What is
13?
Is it double digits?
It's
13
now. 13, six for the Patriots. You were thinking seven because Brady got one with the Bucks.
Yeah, right,
six,
right, right.
Six Patriots, four with the Red Sox, two now with the Celtics, and one with the Bruins. They have had parades the following years in Boston: 2001, 2003, 2004, 2007, 2008, 2011, 2013, 14, 16, 18, and now 2024. Boston to the moon. Nobody deserves that much.
F Boston. Yeah, especially here. I am in D.C., you know, and I still pull up YouTube highlights of the Nats winning in 2019. You know,
exactly.
I gotcha.
So I was thinking about what does it take to win a title in the NBA, and I think you have to have a GM and a front office that knows how to get the good players, keep the good players, and get them to buy in. You got to have a coach who's got a vision and patience and connect with guys. Got to have an owner who's not an impatient asshat, and then you gotta have some luck, because they lose Porzingis to an injury, which really hurt him, But luckily, the rest of the East, Naki, lost even more important guys along the way. And you need a little splash of that, don't you?
Yeah, you sure do. You sure do. And you also, I think, too, you need a good lead guard. That's a part of the equation, too. One of the things you're talking about with the guys that were hurt, I thought New York, as plucky as the Knicks were, and they were a great story with some of those guys, Josh Hart playing out of his mind. But the minute they lose Jalen Brunson, in the last couple of games of
there's
that series,
nothing left.
They got no shot.
Three quarters of the team was him, basically. Yeah. But he carried him through much of the playoffs. So, all right. So playing with Buck, I got to ask you, because Buck loves to talk about two things as a former television guy in the NBA. One would be the broadcasters, and two would be the referees. What did he think of both? At times I watch this league, Naki, and I say, what in the fuck do they see when they make some of these calls? It's befuddling to me.
He infuriates me, okay, about the referees because those guys have took food off my table for years, and he's a great defender of referees,
defends referees.
Yes, he does.
Because he knows Scott Foster personally.
When he was doing the NBA for those 20-plus years.
He got chummy with him.
And they would also, bring all the broadcasters in before the season, fly them to Vegas or wherever, and they would look at film together and shit.
So the league spent money to help precondition the league's broadcasters to not kill the referees as much by showing them.
Some would call it precondition. I call it lube.
They lube them up in Vegas gone. All right. Okay, look, the season's going to happen. We're going to call these things charges. If you didn't know otherwise, here's why they really are charges. And oh, by the way, we're going to Bellagio for a private VIP dinner.
And then the Palomino Club. So they would do all that stuff. I love the guy to death, and we hang out a bunch. But when we get to referees, it might as well be Trump versus Biden kind of stuff. We're not going to see eye to eye on this.
What's crazy is I know how much they run these referees through evaluations and programs on their laptops, and after a game, they're not like Mendy Rudolph going to the bar and having a steak after a game and calling it a night. They got to log on and do all this shit. And so for all of that, I just don't know how some of the calls they make or don't make. Like, where in the book does it say if Pritchard takes 7 steps before launching a half quarter, just ignore it? Because it may go in, it'll be a great highlight. I don't know, maybe that's in a manual somewhere.
Well, the walk, the traveling in the NBA was legislated out years ago. That's not really a thing anymore. But to a degree, I do get, particularly you sit courtside at a game, the level of speed and athleticism is beyond the pale. It's one of those things that is just, it's staggering when you're up close and personal to it. But that said, these guys do, 75 games a season, so they ought to be used to that combination of things.
When it comes to the broadcast, real quick, Doris Burke's great, does a great job. Reddick clearly knows what he's talking about and was fine, I guess, although he didn't seem to appear much. It seemed to be like, is his headset still plugged in, or where did he go on the broadcast? Breen is amazing. My heart still kind of hurts because I love the old booth so much. There is, to me, no reason to break it up. Van Gundy and Jackson were such great foils to Breen, and so it made the finals, Naki, feel lesser to me. The halftimes were a complete joke, where they would do the Kia halftime highlights, plural, and it would be one highlight. So that's a joke, but it's halftime. Go make a sandwich. Who cares?
Well, I thought ESPN really suffered by comparison to the TNT halftime show.
Oh, there's no question. And then they try to jam a fifth guy on there, like Julius Randle the other night, and you're like, this guy has no chemistry, he's got no TV presence, he is killing you right now, and you only got 3.5 minutes of airtime for 12 minutes of commercials.
I thought it was – I never – after the first – game on ABC, I never watched another halftime show because, and I love Wilbon, of course, we all do, you know, DC guys and everything, but Stephen A just drives me nuts. And then I just thought it was weak sauce, and it was so short, like you said, it was it was wedged in.
When Wilbon called for Tim Hardaway Jr. to step up in game three and he got a DNP CD, that was the funniest moment. It's like, okay. Like his last basket had come May 18th, and Wilbon saying, I think he needs to step up tonight. Well, he needs to get his sweats off would be the first step before it can actually step up. All right. What is the future for Boston Sprite? They're the favorite to win it again next year. What about Dallas in 60 seconds or less? Does this Kyrie Luka thing have legs for another couple of years?
Yeah, I think so. I think they pressed the right buttons at the trade deadline. They brought in guys, young guys, live legs. They've got two guys who play the piano in the backcourt and a bunch of guys who carry the piano in the front court. And so I think they're going to be fine. The thing is that I think there are two teams on the serious rise out west, OKC in Minnesota, who just weren't ready for prime time in the playoffs this year. Right. They're going to be a year better next year, both of those teams. And quite honestly, I think they've got a much higher ceiling than the Mavs do. I would be very surprised if those teams aren't, you know, a Western Conference finalists next year.
Yeah, bright future, but rougher neighborhood from Dallas in the West. So
yes, yep.
All right, very good. Did you beat Buck today at his home court?
You know what? We pretty much dead even. The other thing is, man, we play with two great friends, two other really good guys, and we had a hoot. It was a hysterical day on a beautiful course on a great summer day. It just did not suck at all.
Great summer day. It was blazingly hot. Not too hot for you?
Great breeze blowing out there at Bushwood, you know?
Well, good. All right. Well, I hope to get out with you guys sometime this summer. So save a round for me. All right.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Let's end on this. Anybody who travels a lot has their favorite airports and their not so favorite airports. And then their airports that they say, under penalty of death, I will not fly through that place ever again. One of those airports is the Dulles International Airport in the far western suburbs of D.C. in Virginia that features something that no other airport in America and maybe no other airport in the world has. Mobile lounges, they call them, which is really to say glorified buses on stilts that ferry passengers from the simple, rectangular, sloped roof main terminal out to additional terminals in the middle of the airport. This is an extra step, an extra hassle, an extra thing you have to do when you fly out of Dulles, or at least it used to be until they spent a couple of kajillion dollars to build an underground train. Now, I, having traveled and lived in D.C. and flown out of National and Dulles many, many times, I am now of the opinion that Dulles sucks not because of these mobile lounges, but because of the train, which is too hard to get to. It's too long of a walk. You have to take too many staircases and or escalators to get all the way down there. And then it takes forever to wait for the train to bring you to the midfield terminal. It sucks. If I can, I will always drive the extra 35 minutes all the way down into D.C. to fly out of National, if possible. But here's the story. Bad news for those who are hoping that maybe they would finally retire these stupid buses on stilts known as the mobile lounges. There's nothing loungy about them. They're packed full of impatient people, screaming kids going, fuck, why do I have to ride this thing? Just get me to the baggage carousel, please. For those who hope they were going away, bad news. They reported the other day that the airport and the airport authority will spend $160 million to refurbish their 49 mobile lounges that service the midfield terminal. Now, you might say, refurbish? Why not just buy new ones? Because they don't make them anymore. I believe the company that made them is out of business. And they are one-offs. So they can't even spend $160 million to buy 49 new ones. You would think it would be a million-dollar machine, right? That's a fair price, expensive, but still, you would think they could just say, look, we're going to take the 49 mobile lounges now that suck, we're going to buy 49 new ones, a million apiece, and save over $100 million. Just deliver them here, and we'll take them when you got them, and we'll once we're done with the old ones, we'll push them in off a cliff or into a river. No, they can't. They were made like in Bulgaria, as I recall. They're stupid. They're a pain in the ass, but guess what? I still prefer to take those if I have to. Then go down to the stupid train, wait for the train, escalator, escalator, walk, 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 walk. At least the mobile lounges, you get in, they pack you in like sardines, but if you're there early, at least you get a seat. Sit there, read your phone. Plus, your bags probably won't still be there by the time you get to the baggage claim, so assuming you've got a checked bag, you're probably no worse for the wear. That'll do it for me today. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you have a great Wednesday. As always, I appreciate you. If you can rate and review, it helps tickle the algorithmic gods when it comes to this podcast. It's a good time talking to you guys, hearing from you guys, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you for listening. Have a good Wednesday, and we will see you next time. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.